Welcome to the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast, a light-hearted mixed martial arts and wrestling-based podcast for those who enjoy either human cockfighting or watching oily men in their little pants holding each other down for a three count.
Of course, if you're not down with that, we got two words for you!
And welcome to episode 11 of the podcast. Today I am joined once again. We've had been a little while since we've been in the same room together, but finally back in the seats. Musa Christian.
Back in the hot seat. How you doing, brother?
He's back. Turn up the mag. How are you feeling today?
Yeah, feeling good, bro. Feeling good, yeah.
So I'm still not sure what to call this episode. We'll throw some ideas around. We're going to try and make it sort of a monthly sort of tradition to try and
have a bit of a waffle.
Sit down and have a bit of a waffle, yeah?
Have a bit of a natter.
Yeah, just have a chat about what's happening in the world of MMA every month. Obviously, it changes. What do you think so far to this year?
Yeah, it's been good, hasn't it? I'm really looking forward to the next few months, to be fair. We've got some fights that I'm really looking forward to that I think we're going to touch on. What are your thoughts on it? How are you thinking?
I feel like it's been taken off the boil a little bit.
A little bit, just lately.
I feel like the first third of the year was awesome. Every card was, was banging. And then it's just a little bit tough at the minute. Like there'll be a solid card, and then maybe a month of somewhat okay fight nights, but they're not great.
Yeah, I'd agree. Yeah, definitely the last few weeks, I've definitely not as watched it as much as I was doing.
Yeah,
like we were watching it every weekend pretty much, weren't we? Like, yeah. And now it's got to the stage where I'll just check results, or maybe just watch the highlights on YouTube. Or
There's certain fights I'm looking forward to in big events, but I feel like all the big stars are all sort of coming off losses at the minute. Or injured. There's not like one fight that I'm like, oh God, I'm desperate to see that. Okay. Like when they were trying to match like Khabib and Ferguson of the year.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I was dying to see it.
Salivating.
Yeah, yeah. And then just sort of never materialised. But yeah, I don't feel like I've got a fight at the minute that I'm like, I can't wait to see it. Some that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
But I'm not like.
But none have really, really got you going like.
Yeah. Like, I don't know about you, but the difference of Covington versus Usman 2 compared to the excitement of the first time.
I was going to mention actually that is in my list of fights I'm looking forward to, but at the same time I'm not as excited, and I think Colby's inactivity has made me not as excited. Yeah. And seeing Usman being so dominant, I got the thing now where I think it's probably not going to be as fun a fight as the first one. I feel Usman gets a win easier this time.
He's confident now.
Yeah.
He knows he's got hands.
His striking is a lot better under Trevor Whitman. I could see this one not living up to the hype of the first one.
Maybe not. I think it's the first one. We were both on these big win streaks. So it was like coming together, the clash of the titans.
Yeah.
And now Usman's carried on. And Colby. Colby's fought Woodley.
Yeah.
Beat Woodley. And now he's got a title shot again.
Yeah.
I think if he'd have gone like on a tear, about three fights, I'd be like, right, I'm ready to see the rematch.
Yeah, agreed. The beauty of the first one is, like you say, they both only had one loss, and the one loss was to the guy they wanted to beat. So the guy that beat Usman, Colby had beat, and the guy that beat Colby, Usman had beat. And it was like, when has that ever happened? Like, and it's like, they both beat pretty much everybody else in the division.
Yeah.
And like you say, it was just like a perfect storm, wasn't it? They'd captured a storm in a bottle, the UFC, and it really was a clash of the titans. Like, the two most deserved guys, definitely in division, the two best guys in the division, head and shoulders, we're fighting for the title.
And it's not like, I mean, it was close going up into the fifth round, but it's not like it was, it's not like it didn't get the finish. It's not like it was a split decision or you're not sure who won. It clearly hurt him badly in that last round.
Yeah.
He was still moving, but
I had Colby winning up until he lost, if that makes sense.
I had him, I don't know if it was 2-2 or 3-1 going into the fifth. I think I had him 3-1 going into the fifth.
Yeah.
But it was fairly close, but he obviously finished him.
Yeah.
And then he's KO'd Masvidal. Who else did he fight? Usman.
He's beat
Gilbert
Burns. Which is a hell of a win.
Yeah.
Yeah. Who's next for him if he beats Colby again?
It's got to be Leon Edwards.
Leon, of course. Yeah.
Although, I honestly think he wouldn't still be at welterweight if it wasn't for Adesanya being the middleweight champion. I think it was anyone else other than Adesanya, I think he'd move up and challenge
Usman
for that.
Moves up. I think Usman beats Adesanya. I know they wouldn't because they're friends, but yeah, I genuinely think Usman, well, you know, I mean, I always go for the wrestler, but like, we know how important a skill set it is.
Yeah.
And I think there's no one below like 205 that Usman can't like ragdoll.
Yeah, I think if Whittaker was the champion right now, Usman would move up and challenge him.
That's a brilliant stylistic matchup for Usman, to be fair.
Yeah.
Especially with the way his striking's improved now.
Yeah.
He arguably has more power than Whittaker. Whittaker's the better striker than Usman, by clearly, but Whittaker doesn't really starch people that often.
Not really, no. He's more of a
accumulation of damage, yeah.
Yeah, it's interesting, but yeah, I do feel like it's been taken off the boil a little bit. But just to sort of get into it then, is there anything exciting coming up, Zinny? Obviously, you've just mentioned the rematch,
yep.
Usman-Covington. Is there anything else you're really looking forward to?
Gaethje Chandler. Obviously, massive Michael Chandler fanboy. I've said this multiple times on the show. I think that's just a perfect... One of them matches that comes around, when stylistically, it doesn't really mean that much. I mean, a win would put them both into title, one of them into title contention.
I think it definitely put Gaethje in title contention. I think Chandler might need two more wins.
Two, yeah. But I just love the stylistic matchup. Just both absolutely incredible wrestlers. We'll touch on that because I don't think Justin Gaethje is as good a wrestler.
I can't wait to see Chandler shoot that first takedown and see how Gaethje deals with it now.
Yeah, yeah. But just the way they both just got absolute dynamite. They're probably two of the heaviest hitters in the division, if not the two heaviest hitters.
It's a different type of shots, though, isn't it? Like Chandler's explosive, it's like a quick, explosive power shot.
Yeah, yeah.
Whereas Gaethje's more of a thudding sort of
power
puncher.
Gaethje's like a more of a Luke James for people from Shoot. They'll get that reference.
Yeah, just bludgeoning you into sort of...
It doesn't even come that fast, but it just like clubs, like a George Foreman type power.
Yeah.
Whereas Chandler's more like a Mike Tyson or a... Yeah, like that's that... Yeah.
Explosive,
yeah.
He'll hit you before you get to brace.
Yeah.
And that's what'll knock you out. Yeah, it is a good fight. I've got... It's a bit of an easy one, this. It's obviously not going to be contenders anytime soon. I don't know what's going to happen factor. Nick Diaz versus Robbie Lawler.
Well, Robbie Lawler, that was going to be one of mine as well, yeah.
Yeah, just because I don't know what... I'm probably going to go all the points on Lawler. Just because 6-7 years out, obviously he was partying all the time by the look of it.
Yeah, yeah.
He looks in good shape now, but can you have that much time off and compete?
But I think even when Nick Diaz parties, I don't think he was ever like... You know, like when Conor goes and then benders, like he's not in the gym.
Yeah.
I don't think Nick Diaz has ever gone 3 days not training.
Probably not.
In his life. Like, I think he's one of them type of guys, he'll go out, have shots late into the night, smoke bud or whatever, partying with the homies, and then just roll into the gym the next day at like 12 and just grab someone for a roll. I imagine he's always on the gym from what I gather, so.
Who was Lawler's last fight? Was it Covington?
Oh, I'm trying to,
he fought Askren.
Yeah.
And then was it Covington where he just took him down a million times and sort of let him get back up and then finished the takedown again?
I believe it was, yeah. Covington absolutely set a record for the most strikes landed, didn't he?
Yeah. So we don't really know what type of...
Oh, no, he fought Neil Magny after that and lost his decision to Magny as well.
Did he?
Yeah.
It seems like he's going a little bit... I mean, I don't want to say this because he's losing against the top, the creme de la creme.
Yeah, yeah.
But it seems like he's almost going the same road as Woodley. Where
I was about
a bit
to say,
sort of gun shy.
A very gun shy against Covington. I was waiting for him to, and in the last, like I think it was the last 5-6 seconds, he started really going for it.
Yeah,
but I wonder if, similar to Woodley, he's got to that age now where maybe his gas tank isn't, or maybe, I mean, I don't want to cuss Lawler, but maybe he's not on the steroids he was as a younger man. And he can't get away with it. Maybe they're starting to worry about the gas tank. Maybe they're not on the EPO anymore, or they're just getting older and they haven't got the cardio, but. It seems like they're just worried about gassing out, which is obviously a fighter's biggest fear.
Yeah, maybe. I think if you get knocked out and finished and sort of beat up a few times, you're scared of that happening again.
Mm.
You'd rather lose a decision,
yeah,
I suppose, than get badly hurt, maybe. Maybe that sort of floats around in the back of your head as you get older.
But even getting finished, like, you know, even in a gun battle, you're both swinging wildly and you get clipped and finished, you don't really know much about it. That's not as bad as gassing out and literally having someone on top of you and not being able to stop them from hurting you.
True.
Do you know what I mean? Like, that's, well, you know, you being in the cage, that's one of the biggest fears for me anyway.
Yeah.
Is what if I gassed out and like I just couldn't defend myself?
Yeah.
I just got mauled and made to look an idiot.
So it's always been one of the biggest fears in the back before I walk out, like, I'm scared I'm going to get tired. Never happens. Never. Not really.
Yeah.
Apart from once, and I finished the fight as soon as I got tired, so I was lucky there. But yeah, anything else? Any other fights coming up that you...
Yeah. What about Hamzat versus Li Jiangling?
Yeah.
Interesting to see how he comes back after COVID.
Was that Li Jiangling? Was his last fight Ponzinibbio.
Yeah.
Because we both went big on Ponzinibbio, didn't we?
Yeah, and Ponzinibbio, yeah, and he beat Ponzinibbio, which is a good scout for him. Yeah. He's probably beaten the better caliber of fighters than Hamzat has.
I wouldn't.
It's definitely a step up in competition for him.
Yeah. Be interesting to see what type of Khamzat returns.
Struggle yeah.
To even say that, huh? Obviously, he's had quite a bit of time off. Struggled with COVID.
I'm worried that his gas tank, from how bad he sounded like he had it, I'm worried if his gas tank could be the same, to be honest. He'll have scarring on the lungs and stuff, like.
It's tough, innit? You never know.
Obviously, he's a young man and that is in his favour. Do you know what I mean? Had it been like an older fighter, you'd be thinking, right, maybe call it a day. But he's a young man. His human body is massively resilient.
If he's doing some lung strengthening and exercises and stuff, he should be all right.
And the UFC got him straight away into the best doctors in the US, didn't they? So, yeah. I hope, because I would never wish that on any fighter, even though I didn't like him. I'd never want a fighter to not be themselves because of an illness. So I hope he's come back in top form, because that'll be a good fight, that.
Yeah. I've also got Volkanovski versus Ortega.
Yeah, hell of a fight. Yeah.
Yeah. Obviously, Ortega's looking good now. Now he had a lot of time off, came back, looked good in his last fight.
Yeah. The Ultimate Fighter's kind of hyped that one up. I know you haven't really watched it.
I haven't watched The Ultimate Fighter at all.
Yeah. I don't blame you. Kind of a tangent here. I think we were saying before, innit? The beauties of the old Ultimate Fighters was it was very much a reality show. And that's what got people that weren't a fan of the UFC into it, because you didn't have to be a fan of the UFC. You were watching these like mad characters that had larger-than-life characters getting drunk and getting into scraps and all the drama in the house. Yeah. And now it's like, if you've seen one Ultimate Fight season, they all kind of blend into one now, because it's all very similar. Like,
yeah.
They're all just proper consummate professionals, which is good, obviously, for them.
I think something that's affected it as well is the first few Ultimate Fighters, whoever won, usually went on to big success.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Like, they go on to either become a champion or a big contender. I mean, if you think about it, like Rashad Evans, Nate Diaz, obviously Diego Sanchez, Forrest Griffin.
Yeah, Gastelum.
But the last few seasons,
they get cut after a couple of fights.
They don't seem to get anywhere.
No.
I don't know if it's because it's oversaturated and all the top guys are already straight into the UFC without going through the...
I think it's that. I think you just hit the nail on the head. I think the sport is so well known now and there's so many avenues to get into the UFC. They've got scouts everywhere. They're seeing the top talent come through. If you're an absolute freak of nature talent, the chances are you're on the UFC's radar pretty quickly. Yeah. So I think
they should go all in on the Ultimate Fighter if you're going to keep it going.
I think go abroad.
I think go... Use some guys you've already got. Go team versus team.
Yeah.
American top team versus Jackson and Wink.
Yeah. Good shot.
Guys that you've already got in, just do like welterweight and lightweight. Guys that are already sort of in that top maybe 30 to 15 and just pay them good money and just really just go all in on the show.
Yeah.
Make it a big deal.
Yeah, that makes sense. Well, so they did do that ATT versus Black Zillions, and it was one of the best seasons in a while.
It was all sort of like amateurs and stuff though, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was.
But I mean, like, use some names that are already under contract.
Yeah.
And just pay them as you're already going to pay them.
Yeah.
But just really elevate the Ultimate Fighter into a big show.
Yeah.
Instead of like, obviously we were just talking before we started. The final was on, I don't know if it was on the undercard or
undercard
somewhere
of
on
Barboza,
the card.
Yeah.
Of Barboza and Chikadze.
Yeah.
Chikadze. So it wasn't even big, it wasn't even promoted.
No. Well, I didn't know it. I said to you, because I'd watched a bit of the show. I hadn't watched it. I hadn't watched every episode. I'd watched it as and when. Mainly just because I thought the fights were really good. Like I was skipping through a lot of the filler, to be fair. And like I said, I just noticed then when I was looking through the old results that they'd fought on the undercard of that card. I thought they used to have their own show. They used to have the tough finals, didn't they? And that was its own big promoted event. They used to have one big name as a main event, didn't they? They'd get like one big name in, like a Darren Till level, someone like that to be in the main event. And then have them all fight on the undercard. But they just shoved them on the undercard of Barboza versus Chikadze.
I'm sure they said they're going to do a big sort of comeback with the Ultimate Fighter and make a big deal of it. I don't feel like they have.
No.
So it'd be interesting to see where they go from here.
Yeah, agreed. And I think if they are going to keep on that route of looking for new guys, you can't do it in the US because the US, they already know everyone in the US. You're going to have to go to somewhere a bit like out of the way, maybe go to Asia, do one in that kind of territory because there's loads of good guys out there that no one really knows of.
Yeah.
Do one in Japan or the Philippines or Vietnam. Do you know what I mean? Maybe. I don't know.
Yeah, I agree.
I don't know. They've got a lot to think about, though, if they're going to make it successful, because
I think you need names in there that people know.
Yeah. Maybe just from a title shot, if they win it.
Yeah.
So they actually get something from it at the end. There's a prize. It's like watching a football match. You could watch a football match between Brazil and Argentina, But if it's a friendly, look at the viewing figures. Now, yeah. You put a trophy on the line, even if it's just a made-up trophy, like they're playing for it. Look how many people tune in to watch it.
Yeah. I quite liked, can you remember the Redemption episode we did? Where you already knew some of them. They were never going to be a champion after that, but it was just nice to see people that you may have watched for years, so you invested in, so get a chance again.
That's similar. That's what they did on the Matt Serra season, isn't it? It was all people that were already in the UFC and had a shot. And
that was
Matt Serra won the title.
I think it was that one.
Yeah, yeah, he did.
I remember Joe Stevenson was in it.
I think they've done it twice. They did it one with guys that had already been in and failed, didn't they? And then they did, the first one they did was the one like, it was all people.
Yeah, I think Serra was the first one.
Yeah, Serra was, where. Because he won the title off the back of that. He beat GSP and probably the biggest upset of all time.
Got to be the biggest upset of all time.
Yeah, yeah.
Any other fights coming up? I mean, I've got a couple of light heavyweight ones here. A little bit, sort of, not the top guys, but there's Santos versus Walker.
I was going to say,
for excitement factor. If you want to see two big guys go at it, that should be exciting.
Yeah.
And then I've got Bellator in Bellator's tournament, Nemkov versus Johnson.
I'm
worried about Johnson, to be honest.
I think Nemkov's possibly the best light heavyweight in the world right now.
I don't know. So I think the best two light heavyweight in the world is ranked 3 and 4. Jiří Procházka?
Pachowska. Yeah, the goat.
And then there's the other guy. What's the other guy called? Let me see if I can get him up.
Yeah, I forgot about Jiří, actually. And I was high on Jiří. Remember after watching him on that first card where he fought Uzdemir? And I came back, I was telling you, this guy's going to beat John Jones.
Rakic.
Oh, yeah.
That's it. Rakic.
Yeah.
So I think the best light heavyweights in the world at the minute are Jiří Procházka and Alexander Rakic,
yeah.
They're ranked 2 and 3. And then above them is Glover Teixeira. I think both of them two beat Glover Teixeira.
Handily, yeah.
Easily. And then they might have a bit of an issue with Blachowicz, the champion. But I still think they'd be the favourite over him.
You think Rakic should beat Blachowicz?
Yeah, I think they're younger, more explosive, more athletic. I think Rakic beats Blachowicz.
Where would you put Nemkov in that then? You're not sold on him yet because you haven't seen him against top corner?
I think he beats Glover. I don't know if he beats Blachowicz, maybe, but he's looking good, Blachowicz. I'd put him around that 4 or 5 rank at least until he's fought someone that's not Ryan Bader or Phil Davis, which obviously they're good, but they're sort of past their prime.
Yeah, definitely, yeah.
Obviously, Dominic Reyes is in there. He's on a 2-fight losing streak, I think.
Yeah, I feel sorry for Reyes.
Anthony Smith's snuck back up to 6.
I don't think Smith will ever get a touch of the goal, to be fair.
And Kalev's at 7, he's a beast.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see a changing of the guard. Finally, at light heavyweight after years. I think Rakic, Jiří, Procházka?
Procházka, yeah.
Procházka. And Ankalaev. I think them three could be in that top sort of 5, dominating within the next couple of years.
Yeah.
Nikita Krylov as well. Paul Craig possibly could sneak into that top 10 soon, so light heavyweight's quite exciting, actually.
Yeah, no, I agree.
It's looking good. Is there anything you can think of? Well, obviously I've got a couple of topics, but is there anything you want to talk about sort of in the sort of MMA world at the minute?
Fight-wise, I think that's about it, really. Yeah.
Is there any fights you'd like to see get booked?
Yeah, I want to...
not booked yet?
I want to see, moving over back to Bellator, I want to see Romero make his Bellator debut.
He is doing next week, isn't
he? Oh, is he?
Against Phil Davis.
Oh, is he fighting Phil Davis?
Yeah.
Oh, that's tasty. I didn't even know that.
Yeah, I think it might actually be this weekend.
Yeah.
Really underpromoted.
I was going to say, that's mad because I've not even seen anything of it. Obviously, I follow UFC more than Bellator, as everyone does, because it's a bigger promotion, isn't it? But yeah, I didn't even notice that. I didn't even see that.
Yeah, I'll just have a quick check. I'm pretty sure.
Hopefully, then, Rumble gets knocked out of the tournament and we get to see Rumble Romero next.
So we've got Davis Romero, 18th of September.
Yeah, it's 2 weeks, isn't it?
Yeah, so it'd be interesting to see him at light heavyweight, whether it's a good thing he's not cutting weight or... He's getting old, though. What is he, 45?
Yeah, but he's not... I know he had a bit of a losing streak in the UFC, but all of them losses were like arguably wins as well.
Close, yeah.
Yeah. Even like in the Adesanya fight, obviously Adesanya was more active, so you could probably give a nod to him, but in terms of actual coming closest to finishing the fight or doing them any damage. Like, Adesanya did 0 damage to Romero, and Romero rocked him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I thought he beat Whittaker as well in the fight.
Yeah. I think the Costa fight was a toss-up as well. Obviously, Romero was on the back foot, but he was like, if you look at the shots that Costa was landing,
yeah,
he wasn't really landing a lot of the shots. Romero was blocking him well. He was getting his guard up, blocking him, firing back.
I agree. It was close. It was the only time he's fought and lost. And I was like, yeah, I think he definitely lost that one. But I wouldn't have argued the other way.
Yeah.
But Whitaker, I honestly thought he'd beat Whitaker.
I think he beat Whitaker both times.
Yeah.
I think it's a travesty of justice that Romero's never been UFC champion, to be fair.
Remember when he fought, Wyman was supposed to fight Rockhold in a rematch years ago. Wyman dropped out. Romero stepped in last minute.
Missed weight by 0.2 pounds.
0.2 pounds, and they wouldn't give him an hour to make weight.
Yeah.
It's when they changed the rules for a little while that you had to do it on this time. You don't get any extra time. And then they went back on that, and now you get extra time again.
Yeah, disgusting. And you're not. So he is the unofficial. He was the unofficial champion. He beat the guy in the title.
Badly beat him.
Yeah, absolutely starched him.
Yeah. So he should have been interim champion, really.
What about this one then? I'm going to make a statement now. Put him a cards on the table. Yoel Romero, best to never win gold. Would you agree?
I mean, there's who else we got? Is Kenny Florian as an argument?
Yeah, but Kenny Florian had a fight with Yoel Romero.
Fair one. Is there anyone else? Gustafsson?
Yeah. Chad?
Chad Mendes. Yeah, that's a shout, that one.
Yeah.
Chad Mendes. Chael Sonnen?
Yeah. Chael is undefeated, isn't he? He's never lost a round.
Fair one, yeah.
He's never lost a round, Chael.
To be fair, yeah, he had the belt, didn't he?
Yeah.
Then they took it off because he was too good.
Undefeated, undisputed, never lost a round. Greatest martial artist of all time.
He actually beat Anderson Silva with being in a triangle.
Yeah. He beat him 4-1, didn't he? He wasn't aware that in that state they did a rule where if you tap out, you lose the fight. He thought you just lost the round.
Yeah.
So he was like, oh, I'm 4-up, I'll just give him this one.
That's what he thought. Yeah. Obviously not. that'd be a good episode, that.
Yeah, best to never do it. Well, we'll come back to that one and we can get debating that.
My brain's going now. Romero's definitely up there.
Like I say, Gustafsson, like if Cormier and Jones didn't exist, Gustafsson would have been champion for a long time.
It'd be interesting to dig into that middleweight division when Anderson was champion as well, because there was some there that, without him there, would have been champion.
Yeah, for real, definitely.
Can't think.
What about Rumble even? Rumble?
Yeah, Rumble. Was he interim? No.
Oh, no. He fought Cormier for the belt, didn't he?
Yeah. Yeah, maybe, but he's got some glaring, obviously, holes in his game.
Yeah.
With his gas tank and Albion. Obviously, no one used to hit as hard as Rumble. In that last fight, I know he won by finish, but it looked like he lost some power.
Sorry, it's just come to me. Overeem. Never been champion of the UFC.
Yeah, Overeem's okay,
and he's come so close so many times.
Overeem's been there.
And he literally had every accolade in every single other organisation.
Yeah. It'd be an interesting one, but...
Sorry, it took us off on a bit of a tangent there. We weren't expecting to get into that.
Fights you'd like to see then?
Do you mean fights that aren't booked if I could...
Aren't booked yet. If you could book a fight in the next 12 months that hasn't been booked yet. Obviously, we've just got the news earlier. They're targeting Poirier versus Oliveira for the 11th of December.
Brilliant.
So, that's good news.
Needs to happen. Yeah, needs to happen. Move the division forward.
Is there any other fights?
Obviously, the obvious one I'm going to go with, and I think we're just going to just let out a bit of a collective groan at this because it's just dragging on and on and on. But I do want to see John Jones at heavyweight.
Yeah.
Maybe not even giving him Ngannou straight away. Maybe just give him... I know he's not going to do that because he won't fight, but if I was John Jones, I'd want a warm-up fight, man.
They're talking about Stipe again, aren't they?
Yeah, because Stipe's not a huge heavyweight.
He'd been knocked out in his last one.
I think Jones beat Stipe, to be fair.
Possibly. I don't think he's anywhere...
Jones is the bigger man now.
He doesn't look... On that video they released the other day, he doesn't look like he's anywhere near fight shape.
Who, Jones?
Yeah. He looks slow. He looked out of shape.
Yeah, but he always looks shit on the pads.
Yeah.
True. He's mad, isn't he? He's one of them guys, and we always talk about this, like, there's guys that look incredible on the pads, and then John Jones is one of them that, like,
apparently
he looks amateurish.
Apparently the Diaz brothers are in that category as well.
Of looking crap on the pads.
I can't remember who said it. There was a Strikeforce fighter on a show doing an interview. I don't even know why I'm telling you this, because I can't think who it is and when it was. He was saying he saw Nick Diaz. He'd never seen him before. Before he was supposed to fight, who's the Japanese fighter that?
Takanori Gomi.
That's it, Gomi. He was supposed to when he fought Gomi, he was warming up on the pads in the back. And apparently, he said he thought to himself, oh, he's going to get fucked up, his shit. And then obviously went out and they had a war and finished him.
Because the Diaz brothers have got that really sloppy style of boxing. Like, lazy for a boxing purist, for people to say, like, people like Andre Ward has him in the camp, and he generally does have him in the camp. You look at me and think, why? Because it looks so sloppy, but it works, yeah.
It's so relaxed, you don't burn any energy.
Yeah, yeah.
So cool. I had a bit of a curveball for you, but it's spoilt now because of the news that broke earlier.
Yeah, yeah.
But I thought Poirier was going to fight Diaz next, so that's what they've been angling towards. I saw Oliveira post that if that's what he wants to do, that's fine.
Yeah,
I'm like, oh, way to build a fight up. Yeah. Like, you should be like, no, go fight me. He's like, yeah, if that makes him happy and it makes more money, off you go.
Yeah. But such a good dude, isn't he?
I had as a curveball, so looking at that lightweight division, it is a curveball. But at the minute, Max Holloway's not doing anything.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, imagine Oliveira versus Max Holloway.
Ooh. That is a juicy, juicy fight.
That'd be a good fight, that. Obviously, I don't know if he deserves a title shot, but just stylistically.
Yeah, yeah. And we have said, I do see Max's future eventually being in the lightweight division.
Yeah.
But I'd like to see him put some weight on. But again, Oliveira's not a big, hefty lightweight like Poirier, and he doesn't hit as hard as Poirier. So that would be a good, interesting stylistic matchup, that.
Yeah.
Oliveira would be shooting for his life, I think, because if he tries to box with Max Holloway, he's getting fucking turned over.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
It's tough to think what you'd want to see at the minute. I was looking at the
Would you like to see Nate in anything? Would you like to see Diaz? Would you be interested in watching him fight Poirier?
I don't know what I want him to do with him, mate.
I can't look out. Do you think he should wait for Connor? Do you think she just... What? Do you think you'd be excited? Do you think you'd be thinking, oh, I can't wait for the Nate Diaz vs. Poirier fight? Or do you think it'd just be a bit of a...
I don't know if I'd be excited about it.
Yeah.
I'd like to see if they look good. Obviously, one's his teammate, so I doubt we'd see it. But I'd like to see either Nick or Lawler maybe fight. So, yeah, so I'd book it that if Nick won, he fights Masvidal next, and if he looks good.
Yeah.
Against Lawler. And if Lawler beats Nick, he fights his baby brother Nate.
Yeah.
Have a Lawler versus Nate Diaz. Maybe, I don't know.
Yeah.
I honestly, looking at the guys that haven't been booked yet, it's a bit slim pick. I don't know. It just doesn't feel as exciting at the minute.
I know what you mean. There's nothing calling out, is there? I think the John Jones thing, for example, that's just gone on way too long to where we're all kind of just bored of it now.
Yeah. Is it just me? I don't feel like I'm that excited, and I should be, about Ngannou versus Silgain.
Oh, no, I'm not bothered at all, really.
I don't know why, because I feel like I should be really excited about that.
It's a really interesting fight, isn't it? Because I've seen him sparring, and Gain gets the better of him, but obviously they're going really light. And Ngannou's one of them guys, he's not going to be good in sparring because he's fucking shite technically. But
I don't know if it's another case of, because one of them doesn't seem like he's bothered.
Yeah.
I'm not bothered.
Yeah.
I feel like when two people really want to fight each other, it makes me like, oh yeah, I can't wait to see that. When one's like, I'm not really bothered about fighting him, but if you pay me enough, I'll do it.
Exactly that. It's like we said, it's about there being something to gain at the end of it. So like you say, whether it's a trophy, a back title belt, or if there's two people that have been shit-talking each other for months, there really is a big stake, isn't there? Because it's like someone's going to have to eat their words here and be made to look an idiot. So it makes it exciting for us.
Sometimes that chaos makes it exciting. Obviously when Conor was supposed to fight RDA, dropped out, and Nate stepped in last minute and was like, what the fuck's going to happen here? This is a fight we never thought we'd get to see. And then with a finish and the rematch coming up straight away.
Yeah.
Like, that was just a crazy time.
To be fair, that's probably one of the best. The second Nate Diaz-Conor fight was probably one of the best promoted fights in the UFC that I've seen.
Yeah.
I just remember being so, so giddy for that. And nervous for Conor, thinking like, everyone had written him off by then, saying there's no chance, he's the same thing's going to happen. Now Nate's got a full camp and... Yeah.
There's very few fights where I've been as excited or felt like he's invested in.
Yeah.
Like I was that one. There was the Tony Ferguson Khabib fight that never happened.
Yeah.
And there's a bit of a curveball one again. I don't know why I like this fight so much and why I was so excited. It's when Roy Nelson fought Mark Hunt.
Yeah. Because the unstoppable force versus the immovable object. Yeah.
Roy Nelson had never been stopped. He'd lost. He'd be outpointed. They'd never fought anyone as short and stocky and hard-hitting as Hunt. And I just can remember the excitement leading up to that fight week.
Yeah.
No one seemed that bothered, but I was just like a kid at Christmas. And obviously flatlined him and left him face down.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. And like you say, because that's again, it's a narrative, isn't it? Like, you've got the guy that's never been knocked out versus the guy that like can literally punch holes through a brick wall. It's what's going to... Someone's got to give.
I don't feel like we've got that at the minute.
No.
I don't know. Again, the Gain versus Ngannou fight should be as exciting as that, but I'm just not... I don't know. I sort of like the rise of Ngannou. I don't know how I feel about champion Ngannou.
Yeah, no, I get you.
Maybe a good performance will bring you back. I'm not sure. And then obviously I've got the rank number 3 and 2 at light heavyweight that we've already talked about. The man who I can't pronounce, Prochazka. Prochazka against Rakic.
Yeah.
I'd like to see that fight. Although, part of me would like to wait until one's got the belt and then see it for the title. But yeah.
Yeah, the two best, yeah. What about Adesanya? What would you like to see him do?
I thought about that. I'm not sure. I suppose Whitaker again.
That's probably the only one that really gets me going. I'd love to see, like, maybe, like, he won't have him, like, I'd love to see, like, Usman move up, like, so what we talked about.
Yeah, the friends, they're not going to do that. Maybe if Colby beats him.
Yeah. Colby said he will, but I don't think Colby's not even a big welterweight. I think Colby could make lightweight.
Adesanya's not a big middleweight. He always weighs in at, like, 182 pounds.
Yeah.
He's always underweight. So I don't know. I just don't feel like there's anything. I feel like it's been taken off the boil.
Yeah,
at the minute, and we're sort of waiting around. Let's move on then.
Yeah.
So another one I've got for you. In 2022, when he should be healed up, who would you like to see Conor McGregor fight in his return fight?
Okay.
And what weight?
If I was... Well, in my ideal scenario, right, and if I was Conor, you stop being a lazy cunt. You've got a couple of fights left in your career now, right? Just really buckle down if you want to get a legacy. Go back to featherweight, where you were arguably the greatest, the most unstoppable force we've ever seen. Make a run at the featherweight belt.
Yeah.
Because I think, had Conor gone up to 155, won the belt, and then dropped back down to featherweight and tried to hold both.
Yeah.
I think Conor would have gone down now as probably, he'd be in people's pound for pound lists.
Yeah.
He'd be up there with, like, the Fedors, the Andersons, the John Joneses, Demetrius Johnsons, the Hudos. Like, he'd be right up there, and the Khabibs, obviously. He'd be right up there in the mix.
Yeah.
I don't think he was ever even... He's not even a big featherweight now. If you look at some of the featherweights, like Brian Ortega's bigger than Conor.
Yeah.
Max Holloway's got a bigger frame now than Conor.
Taller,
yeah. He's not as probably as stocky, but...
Yeah.
It's a beat. Magomed Sharipov.
Yeah, yeah.
He's huge. Yeah, huge. Why not... I understand why I did it, because when you, like you say, when you're in silk pyjamas, you don't want to be starving yourself and going through that mental trauma.
But I know he had a couple of bad weight cuts, but that was because he was doing all the sort of world tour, the press tour. But with the amount of money he's got now, surely he can afford the best nutritionist in the world.
He doesn't even have to lift a finger. Like, it's not like us when we cut weight. It's hard for us. We're having to make our own meals work.
Yep.
He can just be going to the gym, train him, comes home, his chef's made him his exact food that he needs to eat.
Yep.
He eats that, he relaxes by the pool, goes to the gym again in the evening. Again, chef's got his meals ready. I think it's doable for him to make featherweight.
I think a Holloway rematch, an Ortega, a Volkanovski versus Conor.
I think Conor starches Volkanovski. Do you think Volkanovski gets close to Conor? He'll just light him up.
Possibly, yeah. Obviously, he's going to
Ortega would be. I think out of the three, Ortega would be the hardest fight for him.
Probably.
But yeah, I think maybe do that. But being realistic, because that won't happen. If I was the UFC, I'd give him his first fight back. I'd give him someone in the top 15. I wouldn't, you know, like maybe 5 to 10. Let him have a bit of a warm-up. Like, why are we throwing him straight into the shots? Like, doesn't happen in boxing.
I agree.
Look at Tyson Fury. He said, when he came back after that long layoff, he said, I'm going to fight a can a week. And he did. And he fought about 5-6 cans and then got back in contention.
Yeah. MMA's a weird one. The UFC, they don't really do that. They sort of started down that path. I don't want to say that about Cerrone because he's one of my favourite. He's probably my number one, if not top three, favourite MMA fighters of all time.
Yeah.
When he was going through that run of winning fights and just taking a fight at short notice.
Yeah, yeah.
That was exciting, that. But I know he was talking about fighting Diego Sanchez after that. He was going to be 3 or 4 sort of ageing guys to sort of get the timing in the cage.
Yeah.
And it didn't happen, obviously, because of lockdown.
Plus, it'll build the hype back up. Like, because after he beat Cerrone, can you imagine the hype? Everyone was like, Conor's better than ever.
So this is my pitch for it then.
Yeah.
So it's sort of on that line. I'd send him to featherweight if I had the choice. But again, I don't think it's realistic. How about when he returns, a Conor McGregor, Tony Ferguson fight?
Hell yes. Take my money now.
Yeah.
And it's still good on the resume because he still beat a former champion.
Yep.
And everyone's like, Conor's even better than he's ever been. Like.
Yep. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah.
Be a good fight. I mean, obviously, if Ferguson won, I'd just sail off into the sunset from there. But that's him.
Yeah.
But it's a winnable fight for Conor as well.
If he can't beat Tony Ferguson how Tony Ferguson is now,
yeah,
he needs to retire.
Yeah.
Like, there's no shame in losing to Dustin Poirier at all. Dustin Poirier's, what's Conor's been like, partying, putting stuff up his nose, chilling in Dubai, messing around on, like, jet skis. Poirier's been, like, in, like, Lafayette, Louisiana, or Coconut Creek, training his arse off and fighting the best guys
getting
in the world.
Getting better still.
Yeah.
So the gap will be even bigger.
Yeah. So, I just think Conor...
Have some fun fights with him, I think.
Yeah, yeah, definitely.
Either go for that featherweight belt, or let's have some fun fights.
Yeah. Yeah. And if he looks his sparkling, like, say, in them two fights, like, he beats Ferguson and he beats someone else, then maybe, and he's got his timing back and he's feeling something well, yeah, then maybe give him one last shot at the lightweight belt.
Maybe Ferguson and then a Nate Diaz. Maybe a Nick Diaz.
Oh, yeah.
And then maybe finish with a Masvidal.
Yeah.
Just keep him away from that title scene now, I think.
Well, it's a making a mockery, isn't it? It's not a real sport if he comes in as a title shot again.
No. Before we go, favourite fight this month coming up? You think of a fight this month coming up?
Yeah.
Obviously, we've got the Romero and Phil Davis. You've got UFC 266.
When's Colby Usman? Is that this month?
Is that October, I think?
Oh, that's November. I'm just going to just have a flick through when cards are. So we've got pretty much up to UFC 266 as the last one, innit? I'd say out of that, to be fair.
We've got the contender series. We've got Smith versus Spann, but that card is... We will not be doing predictions for that. That is...
absolutely diabolical.
That is shocking. I know Smith is. I think I've seen Spann. And then everyone else on the card. Don't know who they are.
So fights this month, like you say, there's not anything that really jumps out other than we touched on Nick Diaz Lawler, just for the excitement factor.
Yeah, I'm probably going to go with Volkanovski Ortega.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
For the stakes. I think it's going to be an easy win for her compared to the last couple of contenders she's had.
Yeah.
But Shevchenko's fighting Lauren Murphy. I think she's fought some good competition recently, but I don't think Lauren Murphy's going to... I don't think she's going to upset her.
Dan Hooker versus Calvin Gastelum's little clone would be a good fight.
Yeah, yeah, Mini Gastelum.
Mini Gastelum, yeah. That'd be a banger of a fight.
Hooker's one of them that you desperately want to see him come back up.
Yeah.
I don't want to see him lose.
If he loses again, where does he go?
Yeah. Obviously, he came from featherweight. He's up to lightweight. He was talking about welterweight, but I don't think I want to see that.
Oh, he'll get mauled.
Yeah.
Yeah, he'll get mauled. What? But where does Kevin Lee fit into all of this?
Just lost, hasn't he? They're not about cutting him.
No.
You know, see, he fought Rodriguez.
Did he lose that fight? Daniel Rodriguez?
Yeah.
The guy that Mike Perry fought?
That stepped in short notice with a 1986 across his chest.
Right, so I'm going to tell you what needs to happen. Kevin Lee, Mike Perry, loser leaves town match.
That's quite good, that. That's quite good. It'll be fun.
That'd be a fun fight, wouldn't it? Well, wait, Kevin Lee, Mike Perry, loser gets cut. Loser sails off into Bellator.
Sails off to Bellator on a massive contract.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one, that. Kevin Lee was one of them that he was like, well, he could beat him.
I thought he could beat Khabib.
Yeah. Could he beat Khabib? Could he not? Now it's like, definitely not.
No, yeah, he'd get mauled. Yeah, he'd get mauled. Just because we haven't talked about him before we go, quickly, what do you think to that Antonio McKee?
Antonio McKee?
The Bellator featherweight that just beat Pitbull. AJ McKee.
AJ McKee.
Sorry, his dad's Antonio, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah. He's Antonio Jr. Yeah.
AJ McKee, yeah. Looks good.
I think he's only got two fights left in Bellator as well, so I think we'll be seeing him. I'd love to see him versus Max Holloway.
They are about him defending his belt once and then fighting for the lightweight belt.
Yeah.
So he's just won the featherweight, and obviously he's just beat the guy who owns the lightweight belt.
Yeah, yeah.
He's going to defend it, he says, and he's going to fight Pitbull again for the lightweight. And if he's only got two fights left in his contract, I didn't know that.
But will will Bellator let him fight for the lightweight belt knowing that he's probably going to go to the UFC as a double champ after? Then Dana's going to put him against someone that he hopes will beat him so he can say, look, there.
Yeah, that's something to think about, that.
Yeah.
Anything else you can think
of? No, I think that's it. I just wanted to touch on him just because I thought, what a talent he is.
Yeah, I agree.
And I haven't spoke to you really since he fought and beat Pitbull with a belt. So
yeah,
just thought we'd touch on that. And now that's about it, I think. Yeah, we've covered some good ground.
We'll try and do this every month. Obviously, we'll go over and recap some of the fights from the month before. So obviously, if we can try and do this beginning of October now.
Yeah.
We'll recap September. And we'll sort of see what's been going on. See if there's any news coming up. See if we've turned the flame up.
Yeah.
On the fight sort of thing. Yeah, and that'll do us then. So, not only are we on Instagram, like the last 10 months or whatever, we now have a Twitter account. So, Instagram and Twitter at TheCPWPod. TheCPWPod. I don't think we've got any followers on there because I've just put it on. I have no clue how to use Twitter, but I will figure it out. We also now have a Facebook page, the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast on Facebook. That's, I actually know how to use Facebook, so that's, there's a few followers on that now. I know how to add people. but yeah, so Instagram, Twitter, TheCPWPod, Facebook at the Combat and Pro Wrestling Podcast.
Did you just have to look at the framed picture to read your own podcast then?
It's been a long morning. I've been kickboxing. Right, so thank you for that one, and we'll see you on the next one.